Pentecostal church. Amen. I like it though. Praise the Lord. He's been working me since I've been here. Amen. We got about a cord and a half to two cords of wood loaded on Brother Lapp's trailer. Praise God. And the sisters were supposed to show up and help us, but they were running late. Praise God. Amen. You know, when you're bending over and you start to feel those back muscles tighten up and you're like, oh, he says, preacher, you got to preach twice tomorrow. He says, you sure you want to be throwing those pieces of wood? I said, I'll be all right. And I sat there and thought about it for a minute. I said, you know what, brother? I'm going to listen to my elder's instruction. Praise God. Let's switch places. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But I'm ready to preach to you this afternoon. Amen. I thank God for the Woods family. Brother Woods is, to me, he's become a close friend, somebody that I could look to as a younger pastor. We're pastoring up in Manchester, New Hampshire. We took the church about 3 years ago, and it's been a challenge because we're a multicultural church. We have about eight nations in our church. 60% of our church is black folks, Brother Ross, and I love preaching to the black folks. Amen. They've got a lot of life, and they respond to the preaching of the Word of God. I'm telling you. Amen. And I thank God for what he's doing in Manchester. Keep us in prayer. God is working. We're in like a small little storefront type of church right in, to put it plain, we're in the ghetto area where there's a lot of guns and violence and a lot of gangs. And I'm telling you, but that's where the Lord wants the light of his word to shine forth, is right in the midst of the darkness. Amen. And we're seeing God build his church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail. We're going to stay true. We're going to stay faithful to, amen, and stay on the old paths of righteousness. Amen. It's a good way. It's the right way. And matter of fact, it's the only way. It's the highway of holiness. Hallelujah. And that's what we want. Praise the Lord. But I thank God for all of you. I've been able to put some faces with some names. We've labored on the mission field together, and we've tried to do this last year. I think he's invited me once or twice, and the schedules didn't work out. But I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad to meet all of you. The great hospitality, the wonderful fish fry. And if the Lord's willing, we'll be back with maybe a busload next year. Praise the Lord. Amen. These brothers know how to cook, man. And I'm telling you, I love that all the food that y'all have cooked, everything you've done. We had a weenie roast last night, enjoyed the fellowship with the Woods, just everything. The hospitality. I can truly say this. I've been in a lot of churches and fellowshipping, but the hospitality and the acceptance of what we have felt here. I feel like I'm at home. I just feel welcome. I feel, you know, I don't even feel nervous coming up and preaching, praise God. I mean, I just feel like, amen, I'm at home. And I thank God for that, brother. Amen. And you brothers have treated me like you've known me for 20 years. And I'm telling you, it's just a wonderful feeling to feel this way. And I thank God. I'm looking for more fellowship with y'all in the near future. But let's see what God has for us this afternoon. Could I get a reader? One of you brothers don't mind reading for me? I don't know. Amen. We're going to go to Acts chapter 12 and go through 1 through 16. It's a familiar story, but I want to get into the Word of God. I will not try to be too lengthy, but I want to obey the Lord and deliver what I believe God has given me for you today. Acts chapter 12 is where we're turning in the Word of the Lord. This is a familiar story that we've all read many a time, but I want to bring some key points out of it that I think will help encourage us. Acts chapter 12, 1 through 16.
Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and to kill James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Hallelujah. Of the church unto God for him.
Hallelujah.
When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison.
And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was so. And then they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished.
They were astonished. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you this afternoon, as the Lord will permit me, on praying till the answer comes. Praying till the answer comes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness today, the way you've met us today here in this sanctuary, God. I pray that you would put a cap on this afternoon's services with a touch of the Holy Ghost upon each one of us. Prepare this congregation, Lord. Challenge us today. Lord God, I pray for the Spirit of the living God to manifest in this place. Glorify yourself in the midst of this congregation, Lord. Minister to us and challenge us, Lord. Every word that comes out of my mouth, I pray that it would be ordained of you, Lord God. I pray that your power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost would have its way in the hearts of each one that is here today. Glorify yourself amongst us today. In Jesus' name, we'll give you the glory and the praise and honor for that which is accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praying till the answer comes. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, that Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. I want you to take notice, he went right for the head. Amen. He went right after James, and we know he lost his life. And then he went right after Peter. Amen. He went right after the leadership of the early church. Amen. If there's ever been a time we needed to pray for the leadership, not only within this country, but in the churches. Amen. I ask my church oftentimes, pray for me, church. I need your prayers. And without prayer, amen, nothing's going to happen, church. It's through power in prayer that God can begin to move amongst us. Prayer is not to change God, it's to change us. Amen. Prayer changes us. Many people don't understand that prayer is something that God has chosen, amen, to really do his work. Amen. I believe most of the answers to our prayers are not done on what we do on the outward. Listen, prayer takes place behind closed doors. If you'll quickly go with me in Matthew chapter 6 for a few moments, we're going to go to verse 6. Jesus was speaking here. He says, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, Matthew 6 and 6, and when thou hast shut thy door, hallelujah, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. A man can brag on what he's accomplished. He can brag on, you know, men go around today and they talk about all the great things that they're doing. And amen. But our success is not in what we do. Amen. In the natural. Real success is really determined and started, amen, in the time when a man is closed up with God in a time of prayer. That's when God can really begin to take a man and mold and make him the man or the woman of God that he wants him to be. Jesus says, don't go around bragging and showing forth all that you're doing on the outward. Listen, we can look and judge men on the outward like the Bible says, but God doesn't judge men on the outward. God judges what's on the inside of a man in his heart. Amen? And the Bible declares to us, brothers and sisters, that there's power in prayer. The Bible declares to us that they were in one accord, in one place. Amen? On the day of Pentecost. It is something when we can begin to pull our hearts together in one mind, in one accord, and have a real focus on what we're praying about. Can you listen to me today? Listen to me, church. I'm telling you, they came against the church, and Herod was vexing the church. There was persecuting starting. Listen, there's nothing more that will begin you to pray than persecution. When the enemy of your soul begins to come against you and vex you and tries to come against you, that's the time when the church needs to bind their hearts together in one mind, in one accord, with a purpose that they're going to touch heaven and pray through till the answer comes. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, it's the power of prayer that's going to change our circumstances. It's the power of prayer that is going to change what we've been dealing with. Amen. It's not going to get any better, but amen, I believe God's grace is sufficient for us. I remember that Paul prayed that a thorn would be removed. How many of us remember? Amen. He asked the Lord 3 times, I believe the Bible says, for that thorn to be removed, but God didn't remove it. Amen. But he gave him an answer for his unanswered prayer. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Hey, listen, you can go through a lot, but amen, you don't really know what you can go through until you really get into a time of prayer and realize that God has everything that you need behind closed doors to sustain you through your time of testing and your time of trial. Can you say amen to the word of the Lord? God is faithful, church, to answer the prayers of his people. The Bible says in the book of Acts, in our text, that they were vexing the men of God. Peter was bound. I think it was around 16 men, I believe, the quaternion. And they said that they had him chained up. And they were probably going to cut his head off too, just like James. The spirit of fear that must have gripped the hearts of the believers. The spirit of fear. How many of us know that's not of God? Every one of us have got to fight it at some time. But hallelujah, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Oh, hallelujah. But of peace and power and love and a sound mind. But I'll tell you, you're not going to get that peace and power and a sound mind unless you're praying. Amen? Amen. The spirit of fear will grip your heart, your mind, and your conscience in times of trial. An unexpected tragedy takes place. Listen to me. I'm telling you, the spirit of fear will grip your heart and paralyze your faith in believing that God can change your circumstances. But the fact is that there is power to change our hearts from being fearful. I don't know about you, but there's been a time or two I've been so fearful, I didn't know what to do. I was afraid. Amen. I know that we don't want to admit it, but that spirit of fear is real. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. I've got folks that I've prayed for in my church that can't even go to bed without leaving a light on. Amen. I know I got a brother in the Lord, and I won't mention his name because some of you know him, but he just got delivered from a spirit of fear. A grown man, 38 years old, couldn't even sleep without a light on. I'm talking about it's real. It's a spirit of fear. And I said, brother, what helped you to get delivered from that and set you free? He says, it was when I got alone with God and I began to pray. How many of us know what it is to pray through? Oh, hallelujah to God. There was once a time that we would face our troubles and our circumstances and our trials. And the first thing that the early church used to do is to pray until the answer came. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, nothing has changed. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God hears the cry of the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Listen, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord through prayer will bring deliverance to his people. Can you say amen? This is not anything that I've, you haven't heard preached before. It's just an understanding that we need to be challenged in the time of our trials to pray even more fervently. Oh, listen to me. I'm telling you, I've challenged my church at home that the only thing that's going to change your family members that are backslid, the only thing that's going to change your loved ones that are bound by the powers of sin, the only thing that's going to bring healing to those that are sick within the church is when we bind our hearts together in one mind and one accord. The Bible says they were vexed in the early church, but amen, prayer was made without ceasing. I'm telling you, the church knew that their answer was to get behind closed doors and to bind their hearts together in a time of prayer where they could begin to touch heaven and call upon the name of the Lord, and God would hear their prayer and God would bring them the answer. Hallelujah. Our families are under attack. Our leadership is under attack. Our finances are under attack. The devil is trying to destroy the work of God. The devil's doing everything he can to try to hinder us from praying. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, there's times when I don't feel like praying, but I know that if I skip that sweet hour of prayer, oh, listen to me, that hey, it makes a big difference when you pray, and it also makes a big difference when you don't pray. Come on, somebody knows what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, there's something about the day when you know you can start it with the Lord early in the morning hour, and you can spend some time alone with God behind closed doors. I'm telling you, church, that's the time where we can shut up the doors, amen, to all the noise and all the problems and get alone with God. Shut off the cell phone. Shut off the computer. Get out of the Facebook and get alone with God and begin to cry out to Him with all your heart, and God will commune with you. Hallelujah. God spoke to that Laodicean church and He says, I stand at the door and knock. I'm telling you, you listen to me, church. Many have Him on the outside, but He's wanting to commune with us. He's wanting to come in and sup with us. And He said, if any man hear my voice, oh, listen to me. Does anybody hear the tug of the Spirit of God? And that still small voice that says, you need to pray, sister. You need to spend some time in prayer, brother. Amen. I know that all hell's coming against us, church. I know the enemy's vexing our soul with much trial and affliction, but if there's ever been a time we as a church needed to bind our hearts together and begin to pray, it's now. Hallelujah. Prayer is what's going to break the back of the devil. Listen, he's no match. He's no match when a church will pray. Oh, hallelujah. A church that prays will have power. Oh, and the problem that we're having at home, and I don't know if you have it down here, but I can't get everybody to pray. Amen. We've got about 50 in the church, and we only get about 10 that come to prayer meeting. I talked to a woman last week, and she said there was a church of 1,500 or 15,000 that she attended, and they said they only get about 50 of them coming to prayer meeting. I'm telling you, church, the Bible says in our text that the church, the whole church, they came together in one place, in one mind, and in one accord. Oh, listen to me. And they began to make prayers without ceasing unto God for Peter. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Listen to me, church. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. The devil's pulling out everything he can from the hounds of hell. Amen. To come against us. We're dealing with things that we've never seen before come our way. But this is not a time for us, amen, to spend less time in prayer. This is the time when we need to press toward, amen, our prayer closets. We need to change our schedules. We need to take some time off of work. We need to do whatever we gotta do to get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray through until we touch heaven. Hallelujah. That is where we're gonna get our answer. And I know a lot of these messages have kind of woven together, but I want to challenge you. And I'm not saying you're not praying, but I'm telling you, I'm realizing more and more, Brother Woods, as I pray, I need to make more time to pray. Amen. We're not going to, amen, face the powers of the devil in this day and hour. Amen. With a little 15-minute prayer a day, we're not going to be able to
just pray only, but also we're going to have to push away from the table. Amen. We're going to have to pray and fast. I'm telling you, that's the answer, and that's what we've got to do, brothers and sisters. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Many of you know what that is, where you are all day long, amen, talking to God in your heart, and you're beginning to speak with Him. The Bible begins to tell us in Matthew 18 and 19, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, amen, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father. Glory be to God. That's the key, is coming into agreement. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm realizing when you really love your brother and you really love your sister, when they're suffering, you're suffering. When they're going through it, you're going through it. When they need help, amen, you're willing to help them. I'm telling you, there's a new saying going out with this young generation of, oh, I feel you. But let me tell you something. You don't feel me until you feel my pain. You don't feel me until you feel my heartache. You don't feel me till you know really what I'm feeling. And the only way you can feel one another truly is when you love one another. What's lacking in many is the power of agreement. Amen. I think what I've noticed in many of our churches is the division that the enemy's trying to bring in amongst us. There's a spirit of division, and he knows that if we get into agreement and we begin to really pray, oh, listen to me, that some powerful things are going to happen. He said, amen, that church that closed themselves up behind closed doors in the book of Acts chapter 12, amen, the Heavenly Father in heaven, he's seen what they were doing, amen. And let me tell you something, while they were praying, God was beginning to dispatch angels from heaven. They didn't know what was going on. One side of the town they were praying, but on the other side of town, Peter had an angel of visitation. Why? Because the church was praying. The church, oh, listen, God doesn't need to, listen, a lot of times we want to feel Holy Ghost goosebumps when we're praying. We want to feel that surge of power and anointing when we're praying. But I'm telling you, there's been a lot of times I've prayed for people to be healed or to be delivered, and I didn't feel a thing, Brother Woods, but it didn't mean God was not moving. I'm telling you, they were on one side of the town praying, and God at the same time, unknowing to them, was dispatching the powers of angels from heaven to bring deliverance to Peter. Don't you think that your prayers are not being heard of God? There's no distance in prayer with God. Oh, listen to me. I'm telling you, through the power of agreement, when we bind our hearts together, any two, he said, and we've got about 30 or 35 here, amen, this afternoon, that's enough to turn the world upside down. If we can begin to pray, I believe we can see the miraculous. I believe God wants to demonstrate some power. If we can only come into agreement, hallelujah. What God accomplishes in your life and in my life and in the church will always start behind closed doors. It's not the great works and feats that men will accomplish in the natural with mission work and with building structures and churches and all that. That's what the Laodicean church bragged on. They said, we're increased with goods. We are in need of nothing. Look what we've accomplished. Look what we've done. But he said, you're poor. You're wretched. You're blind. You're naked. That's the condition spiritually. That's a people that are blind. They do not even understand where they are spiritually. That is speaking to the church of this day. Would you say amen? They don't even realize they might have it all on the outward, but they have nothing on the inward. I'm telling you, the only way that we're going to see the power of God in this last day hour is through the power of prayer, brothers and sisters. Prayer is going to usher it in. That's what ushered in, amen, the great outpouring of God's Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 2. The Bible says they were in one mind, Brother Cottle, and one accord. I'm not much for music, but I can tell when it's off a little bit. Are you, amen? And you guys do a lot better than we do up in Manchester, praise the Lord. Amen, you guys are pretty talented. But I'm telling you, I can't pick up on it sometimes, but you guys know when you're off or when somebody's off. Amen, it's something about being in one accord. Something about being in the same key. Something about everybody being on the same wavelength. I'm telling you, I've gotten so close to some brothers, they don't need to tell me to pray. I don't need to tell them to pray. They know when I'm going through it. They know when I'm carrying some heavy burdens. God, send us some men that have a spiritual mind to see the need of their brothers, to see the need of their sisters. I don't need a pat on the back. I need you to get on your knees and touch heaven for me till the power of God comes forth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. God is the source. Oh, God is the source. There's been times where I've looked to pray, to ask others to pray, and there's a time for that. There's a time where others can help me bear my burdens. But there's a time where I must bear some burdens all alone. Are you listening to me? There's some burdens that we can help bear ye one another's burdens. Amen. Because we love one another. And we want to shoulder the load with one another. But there comes a time that some burdens have to be borne all alone by yourself. Your brothers and your sisters can be there for you. But don't you think that God brings the heavy weights? He knows, listen to me, He knows how much you can take. He will not put upon you more than you can bear. He will not put upon, He knows you. Oh, He knows your gross weight, Brother Cottle. He knows how much you can take. When they design those trucks, they've got a gross weight. And you got to be careful. When you go overload, you're susceptible to doing some damage to the springs or to the axles or something. But I'm telling you, God is the supreme designer of your body. He knows you better than you know yourself. Some of us don't think we can take the heavy loads that we're carrying right now. But I feel the Holy Ghost trying to tell somebody that God's grace is sufficient. You know why you haven't had a nervous breakdown? Because somebody's been praying. You know why you haven't thrown in the white towel? Because somebody's praying. You know why you haven't got so impatient and pulled out your hair? It's because somebody's been praying. I'm telling you, you might not have somebody in the physical bearing your burden, but oh, I thank God for the saints that know how to pray. I'm talking about not those that say, I'm praying for you, brother, but they don't really spend any time in prayer. I'm not talking about somebody that pats you on the back and says, oh, we'll pray for you, brother. That's become a terminology in our Pentecostal ranks. And I'm telling you, I feel like telling, you know why I know? Because there was a time that I did that myself. And the Holy Ghost said, you're lying. You ain't going to pray for them. Quit telling your brother or your sister you're going to pray when you are praying. I'm telling you, when we can begin to pray. Oh, listen to me. I'm talking about not just praying, but I'm talking praying. Sometimes, amen, we can't pray with this verbal language. We can't pray with English. I'm talking about prayer that comes out of the innermost parts of our being with groanings that can't be uttered. Sometimes I don't know what to pray for, but amen, that spirit wells up within me. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen, but I'm telling you, that's the type of prayer, the prayer of intercession. God's looking for some prayer warriors that will shut the doors and get in secret with God. And God said, in secret, I see what you're doing. I hear your prayer, and I will reward you openly. Oh. So the church is praying without ceasing. How many of us know the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Oh, hallelujah. Need I remind you about our brother Esaias in the book of James chapter 5, hallelujah, in 16, where the Bible says that he prayed that the rain would stop, but then he prayed again. I'm telling you, there's power in prayer. God hears the prayers of the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Amen. I'm telling you, God's not going to hear the hypocrite's prayer. God's not going to listen to those that aren't serving Him in holiness and in true righteousness. But God hears the prayers of those that have come out from among the world and they've separated themselves unto God, holy and acceptable unto Him, and they give their whole heart unto Him in prayer. Prayer has got to become, for the lack of a better word, a lifestyle. It's got to become a lifestyle. I've told our brothers in our church, you better make time. You better make time. I know those babies take a lot of time. And I know that sometimes you're so weary and tired. There's been times where I've helped my wife when she's been sick. And amen, I got the utmost credit for our women and our mothers. That's one of the hardest jobs in the world. Homeschooling children. Training them up in the way that they should go. Amen. Continuing to have faithful Bible studies. Doing the dishes. Doing the laundry. Amen. And you're doing everything. Washing your husband's clothes. Taking care of the house. Taking phone calls. And amen, at the end of the day, there's not much time for yourself. But I want to encourage you, sisters. Amen. Let the Lord wake you up in the midnight hour when the whole household is asleep. And get alone with God behind some closed doors. Amen. It doesn't have to be an hour or two. Even just a few 15, 20 minutes. Amen. And I'm telling you, the sweet presence of God's Spirit, sister, will come by and will touch you and minister to you and help you. And He'll renew your strength in that time of prayer. True prayer is sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. We've got to cut some things out of our schedule. Some things are just a waste of time. It's all right if you don't say amen. Amen. Some things are just a waste of time. Come on now, I'm telling you. You know how I know? Because the Holy Ghost has been nailing this preacher down. Telling me, amen, preacher. Amen. You get rid of this and you deal with this and spend a little more time behind closed doors. Amen. Let me tell you something. The answer only comes when you're willing to get behind closed doors. And He's given us a promise. That I will reward you for what you've done in secret. I will reward you openly. We look at great men that have a touch of God on their life and that you see them used of God mightily and God's blessed them. But let me tell you something. Those men are men that spend hours in prayer. Those are men that spend hours with their nose in the book. Hey, they spend hours of just meditating on the things of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, they pay a price for what they have. And we as God's people, if we want to see God's blessings, we ourselves have to be challenged to realize that we are not going to get by with anything less but true dedication and commitment to our prayer lives. And if you do not have a prayer life, you're not going to make it. I'm telling you, you're not going to make it. It's only going to get harder and harder. And the cares of this world are going to overwhelm you. You've got to make some time to cast all your care upon the Lord because He cares for you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to sup with you. Preacher, brother, sister, make the time to spend behind closed doors, alone with God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. He said, let thy alms be done in secret, Matthew 6:4. But your heavenly Father will reward you openly. We all like the blessings when they come. But some blessings have to be prayed in. Some of our answers have to be prayed through. I'm telling you, there was a time where, as I was a younger man, I realized I had some things in my life that I needed to overcome. And the only way I could get it was not just by somebody laying hands on me. There is a time where you can get delivered or healed that way. But there's a time where God's going to make you, amen, make an altar for your own in your own home. Hey, listen to me now. I'm telling you, this is the key to, amen, a strong man or woman of God. Amen. You're not going to get pats on the back and you're not going to get people giving you all types of credit. Amen. But He said, you make this time. Amen. And to get alone with me in secret and I'll begin to bless you. I'll begin to open up doors for you. Amen. And many will look at it and they'll recognize, my God, there's a blessing upon their life. Where did it come from? It came from when somebody chose to get behind closed doors and they begin to pray and they begin to pray through until their answer came. So the church is praying without ceasing for Peter. It looks impossible. But God is a God of the impossible. Glory be to God. I said He's a God of the impossible. And what seems impossible with man is possible with God. Glory be to your name, Lord. And I begin to read this text. I begin to realize that some things are only going to be overcome through prayer. It's that spiritual battle. And if we begin to really pray, we tear down the strongholds of the devil. This is not done. He talked about the other night, we need some spiritual men. How many remember that? Amen. I was stirred in my heart. I'm going to dig into that a little more. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, spiritual men are men of prayer. Men that are filled with the Spirit of God. We can't be spiritual men unless we spend time alone with God. Amen. And I'm telling you, church, that's what we need. We need some folks that can touch heaven. We need some people that are full of the Holy Ghost. But as I begin to recognize, as the church was praying and God was dispatching the angels, amen, to bring deliverance to our brother. They were praying. And all to once, and they were going at it, brother. I'm talking good old fashioned Pentecostal prayer. I'm talking when things are, they're behind closed doors now. My children know when I shut the door, don't you be going in there to mess with daddy. That's daddy's time. We got a small little apartment we're living in now. We used to have a house I could go downstairs and amen, but now we got a small little apartment above the church and it's kind of tight in there, but I've made the time. I've made that place and dedicated myself to it. And brother, I'm telling you, my children, don't mess with daddy. And sometimes, you know, when you really get to praying, I'm telling you, I don't care what's going on the other side of the door. I don't care who's knocking. I don't care who's calling. I don't care what text is coming in. I don't care about any of that. It's a time where we've got to shut it all out. And that's what they were having, this time of prayer. And they were praying, oh God, set Peter free, Lord. God in heaven, hear prayer. Oh, come on, some of you old Pentecostals know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some of those old time Pentecostal sisters. I know that some of you know what I'm talking about. See, I was brought up in Pentecost. I remember going into church as a little boy. And I'm telling you, before service, people weren't carousing around and talking about things throughout the week. They weren't talking about the ball game. They weren't talking about who won the football game, but they were around the altar. And I'm telling you, church, I'm talking about old time Pentecostal prayer where the Spirit of God began to come down, amen, and made preparation for the sanctuary to have a move of God. I'm telling you, that's what we got to get back to, is get back to true dedicated prayer. It's one of the hardest things you're going to have to do, is make the time. Because our busy schedules won't allow us. They will not allow us. The demand, if the devil can hinder us to pray, he knows. He can stop you from doing a lot of damage to his kingdoms. He knows a lot of his strongholds are going to have to let go. Sister, if you keep praying for your family, you watch what God does openly for you. Brother, if you keep praying for those backslid loved ones, you watch what God will begin. I said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God hears the prayer when you get behind closed doors. He'll go to that loved one and begin to bring conviction to their heart and begin to deal with them by the power of the Holy Ghost. No man can come to God unless the Spirit of God draws him. It's through the power of prayer that God will unleash His Spirit and begin to deal with that individual and draw them unto Himself. There's a time for us to witness and minister, but I'm telling you, my pastor, Brother Reynolds, oftentimes would not even go pray for people with cancer or demon possession, or they needed some type of miracle in their life without fasting 2 or 3 days or longer. They want them to come, and sometimes that won't allow us. Sometimes we must go immediately as pastors and brothers and sisters. But there's times where Pastor Reynolds says, let me pray. He was a man of prayer. He would shut himself up behind closed doors, and it was evident. And I'm not here to exalt my pastor and a man, but he was a man when other men couldn't get the job done. And that's not putting down other brethren, but I'm telling you, amen, when you're going to have an anointing to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons, it's because somebody's been alone with God, paying the price that's necessary to have the power of the Holy Ghost upon their life. I'm telling you, church, God will give power to some, but He'll give a greater power to others that are willing to present themselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That is the reasonable service. There's a price to pay. Amen. Jesus said, this kind only come by prayer and fasting. And I'm telling you, it's necessary. But as I begin to read this, I want to close with this last point. We're all praying, I'm sure, here for something. And if you're not, then there's a problem. But I believe we're all praying. Something's going on. Somebody's going through something. You're going through something right now where you need an answer. Amen. You need God to heal. You need God to supply the need. You need God to do many things that I can't even mention. Amen. We're a needy people. Amen. And how many of us know our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we even ask? But He's still wanting us to ask Him. Glory be to God. I like that. The fact is He wants to commune with you. He wants you to acknowledge that He is your supplier. And He wants you to have total dependence upon Him. So they're having one of these old-fashioned Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer meetings. And they hear that knock at the door. And I got to thinking about that. And I said, Lord, why wouldn't any of them respond? And you got this young little maiden, Rhoda, that comes over to the door. And she got so excited, she knew Peter's voice. She knew her pastor's voice. How many of us know my sheep hear my voice? Listen, I know Brother Woods good enough, and I've heard him preach good enough and well enough over the years, and many of you have too, to where he's got a distinct voice. Amen. And then now that you know my voice, most of you could probably hear a CD or a tape without even seeing, amen, me, and know that that's Brother Davis, or that's Brother Woods, or that's Brother Powers, or any other brother that's in here. Hey, because we're familiar with the voice. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and another will they not go astray. As they heard his voice, she got so excited. God had answered their prayer. I said God had answered their prayer. They weren't even aware of it. I'm talking to somebody that's been praying. I'm preaching to somebody that's been crying out to God. And I'm here to tell you by the Holy Ghost, that which you have been praying for is at the door. Hallelujah. That's what you have been praying for. It's right at the door. I wish somebody would hear me again. I'm telling you, I don't know what you've been praying about. I don't know who you've been praying for. I don't know what you've been crying out to God for. But that which you have been praying for is at the door. God's getting ready to answer your prayer. God's getting ready to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. My God, I wish somebody would have heard what I said. My God, I need your help right here, Lord. Oh, that spirit of unbelief will creep in. I'm telling you. Amen. Why didn't they come to the door? Rhoda ran for excitement. And I'm telling you, we can miss God sometime if we're not careful. You listen to me now. Oh, we can get so caught up. But we need to take the time to receive what God has for us. We need to learn to receive, amen, what God has for us. Sometimes I'll get so busy, I'll miss what God wants to do in my heart because I don't spend enough time waiting and receiving what He has for me. We're praying, but I'm telling you the answer's right there. The Bible talks about receiving by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence, hallelujah, of things not yet seen. They were praying for Peter. God had already heard the prayer of the church. Amen. The angels went in there and loosed him. Said, get up, son. Get up. Somebody's praying for you, Peter. Listen, anytime you can be in a prison and sleep, you know somebody's praying for you. God brought him right to the door. Amen. And he began to knock. And I believe they were so distraught and so much in unbelief when they first seen him. They didn't even realize it was him. But I'm telling you what needs to take place is we need to believe God. This is a simple message, I know. But I'm telling you, if we'll only believe. I read about that great man of God, Smith Wigglesworth, and some of the way he prayed for people. How many of us know how he would begin to pray for people and begin to lay hands on them? He didn't lay hands on them. Sometimes he punched them. That looks so crazy. But I don't care how God, how the answer comes, as long as it comes. If I've got a problem in my back, punch it, brother. Lay into it. I mean, if God, the Holy Ghost says, do it, do it. I don't even care. Roll me on the ground. Do something. Run me up the aisle. Amen. Do a backflip and a cartwheel. I don't care what it takes, as long as it gets done. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the answer that you've been praying for, it's right at the door. Some of you don't believe what I'm saying. You better listen. Don't let that spirit be not. Listen. That spirit of unbelief. I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. Receive. If thou canst receive. You know, peace is a gift. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but you got to receive the peace of God. I used to be ruled with anxiety and stress and frustration and anger. I know there's none here in Wesleyan Pentecostal Church that ever dealt with that, but I'm telling you, I was bound to those things at times when certain things would come against me. But through prayer, I learned in a time of prayer how to receive peace from God. He said, let my peace rule and reign in your heart. And it was through prayer, Brother Cottle, that I received my answers. It was through prayer. Sometimes I needed a man of God to lay hands on me and I needed counsel. But oftentimes all that I needed when it was and I'd close myself up with God, alone with Him, and God would give me what I needed in that time of prayer with Him. True prayer and fervent prayer will get the job done. A committed prayer life. That's a dangerous man, a man that's committed to pray. That's a dangerous sister in the Lord. I'm telling you, you watch out. You watch some of those old timers back in the day when I was a young boy. I'd get around them. I thought God was looking through me. I'm telling you. You get a man that comes out of his prayer closet. And I'm telling you, his face looks different. And he's staring at you with those eyes that begin to pierce through your soul. And I knew as even a little boy. Amen. That's a man of God. Yeah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I used to have my grandpa who was a man of God, great man of God of prayer and fasting. He would pray for hours. And I try to ask myself, how can you be in a bedroom for 3-4 hours shut up with God and not get bored? I mean, I didn't. He says, son, you don't understand. There's no time in the realm of the spirit. If you'll only learn to pray in the spirit, amen, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, there's something about the power of prayer when a man of God can get full of the power of the spirit. Building up yourself. Don't be discouraged. David found himself with everything coming against him, but he got alone with God and he encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm telling you, there's times where nobody else can answer you but God. There's nobody else can give you what you need but God. And the answer is simple. It's in prayer. The Lord spoke to me at the beginning of that trial, Pastor Woods, as I knew we were getting ready to go into a time of struggle and hardship of finances and God making ends meet and the fear of losing all this equipment that I almost have paid off and not being able to, the finance company calling, where are you going to send in a payment? When are you going to send in a payment? Oh, God, touch their heart, I'd be praying. I'd tell my wife, I don't know what to do. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so fearful. I'm so afraid. But all the once, the Holy Ghost began to deal with me and says, everything you need is going to be behind closed doors in a time of prayer. I went into a season of prayer, brother, where I began to really pray. How many of us know when trouble comes, that's when you really learn to pray? Amen. And let me tell you something. There's some things that I learned in that season. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us. Teach us. Let us learn how to pray. Let me tell you, one of the best teachers, you don't learn it out of a book. You don't learn it in a seminary class. You don't learn it at a Bible college. But let me tell you how you learn to pray. Get into some trouble. Let some trials come. You don't need anybody to teach you to pray then. All you need to do is get alone with God and begin to open your mouth and begin to pour out your heart to Him. And God will teach you to pray. I'm telling you, that's the only thing that sustained me and kept me from going out of my mind was stress. Many of us know what stress can do to your body. I started having heart palpitations and anxiety and stress. I'd have to stop and my wife would have to pray me through. I'm not kidding you. But through prayer, behind closed doors, Brother Woods, God said, right here. I was praying and meditating. He says, right here on your knees is where all your answers will come. I'm telling you, it makes the difference. It's tough to get people to pray in the day and hour we're living. It's tough. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got it coming against us, church. When persecution comes to the church, that's when the church needs to drop to their knees. We haven't seen nothing yet in this nation. The Bible talks about when you begin to see the beginning of sorrows, then look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. I think we're going to see some things in the beginning. He said, when you begin to see these things, the earthquakes, the sicknesses, the diseases, we're going to see some things. I know that he's going to count some worthy to escape all these things, but I believe we're going to see the beginning of some things. Now, I don't get too much into that, but I'll tell you this right now. He said, watch and pray. That you be counted to escape all these things. I'm telling you, you better be watching. You better be praying. Listen to me, church. Not everybody's going to get out of here like a lot of people think they are. I'm telling you, I don't think that the whole boat, everybody that names the name of Jesus is just going to fly away. I don't believe that. I believe it's going to be those that are watching and praying. He's going to count them worthy. I believe He's got a bride without spot or wrinkle. I believe He's got a remnant in the land that have been praying, that have kept their garments white. I believe God has got a people that are doing His will, and His will is that we pray without ceasing, watching for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand with me this afternoon, church. Hallelujah. Stand with me this afternoon. Hallelujah. I was hoping we could spend a little season of prayer this afternoon, crying out to God. I know that many of you are praying, but brothers and sisters, one thing I want to encourage you is let's pray together. Let's begin to get specific things and let's tear down the strongholds of the devil. I'll get on the phone to Brother Woods, and I've asked him for prayer, and I'm asking you if you guys have things. And he mentioned about Brother Lapp, and our church has been praying. We've been praying with you. You don't know our folks, but I'll tell you this: I got some Holy Ghost filled sisters and brothers. Amen. They know how to pray, and they've been praying for Brother Lapp. They've been praying for the church here that God sends a revival. And I'm just telling you, I know I don't know many of you, but we're with you up in New Hampshire. Amen. They call us the Frozen Chosen. But let me tell you, there's a few of us up there that are still living holiness and righteousness. There's a few of us up in the Northeast. I know you think it's a preacher's graveyard up there, but let me tell you, there's a few, amen, that are up there still preaching the old time way. There's still that love, amen, righteousness and truth. And amen, don't think that I think sometimes a lot of us, we get into this idea we're the only ones, but amen, God's got a remnant in the land. And let me tell you something, that's why I believe you've received me so well, is because, amen, I've got brothers and sisters here of precious like faith. And amen, we've got one purpose, and that is to glorify the Son of God and lift up the name of Jesus. That's what we're here to do, to exalt Him. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Amen. As we close this afternoon, I want to challenge you, church. Pray until the answer comes. And there's some of you been praying, and God told me to tell you your prayers have been heard. And the answer is at the door. Receive what you have been praying. He said, stop asking. He said, start thanking me for it. He said, start thanking me for it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. I'm telling you, when you begin to thank God for that which you haven't seen, I'm telling you, church, that's all. Listen, that's real faith. Saying, Lord, I thank you for my healing. I thank you for my deliverance. I thank you for the provision. I thank you for the work that you're doing in my family. I thank you for the new job. I thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the move of God in the church that's coming. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the victory that you're going to send in people's lives, Lord. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I said victory is a gift. I don't know what battle you've been fighting. I don't know what you've been coming up against. But I'm telling you, when you get into to a real place of prayer, you'll begin to defeat the devil. And God will give you the victory. You need to receive that victory. Thanks be unto God. Give Him thanks for the victory of the battles that you're fighting. I said, give Him thanks. Thanks be unto God. And say, Lord, help me to receive the answer to my prayer. Help me to receive that which I've been crying out to you for, Lord. Oftentimes we keep praying and praying and praying, and God's already heard it. It's not that He hasn't heard. We continue to pray. There's nothing wrong with continually making your requests known. But there's a time where I felt the Holy Ghost was telling me, it's time to thank Him. He's already heard. And your answer is right at the door. Oh, hallelujah. It's at the door, brother. It's at the door, sister. That which you have been praying for, it's right at the door. It's on its way. God has heard you. Let's believe Him. Let's trust Him. Let's look unto Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord for a few minutes, church. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him like we mean it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for hearing the prayer of your people, God. God, send the answer. Oh, God, your ear has heard the heart cry of your people.